Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Well, welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to talk about the Kingdom of God. We're going to talk about it in relationship to family. Family is the only corporation created by God, short of that corporation we call the church that's created by Christ. And I'll briefly touch on both of those in a little bit, but why do I say corporation? A corporation is two or more people gathered together as if they were one person for a particular purpose under a pre-existing authority. And that's a family. A family is gathered together under the pre-existing authority of God. No more twain, but one person out of two for a purpose to be fruitful and multiply, and so that their days will be long upon the land. It is the building block of all societies. Family is where society is born. It is probably one of the most essential parts of society. But man and woman are a creation of God. Their rights are endowed in them by God in a state of nature. And in that state of nature, under the laws of nature and nature's God, they may make mistakes. They may make errors. They may decide to do things for themselves. They may create graven images and bow down and worship them. We have this idea, graven images are statues. Graven images are anything that you create to resemble creation. Well, the first thing that men create is government. And they create governments in order to resemble the family. And they have leaders who they call father. Now, we don't usually call the president or prime minister of our country's father today, but in reality, we do, in essence, that they are our fathers. Because if you wanted to get married, like in the days of Samson, he went and asked permission of his father. Well, people today go and ask permission of their father, but what they do is they go and ask permission of the state, because the state is in the position of father. At the time of Jesus Christ, when he said, call no man father, it was very clear that he was talking about the state, because at that particular time, all the senators of Rome were called father, and the emperor of Rome was called patronus, and many of the other leaders of other governments were called patre. Even in the Greek, even in the Latin, it was the same word. And that's actually the word that you see in the original text, is patre. He's saying, call no man on earth father, but my father who art in heaven. And that's where he says to pray, our father who art in heaven, our patre who art in heaven. Well, if you pray to God, how do you actually get assistance? Well, you get it through the hearts and minds of those people around about you who God dwells in, whose Spirit of God dwells in. And we know a little bit about the Spirit of God because it says, you know, don't lie, don't murder, don't steal, don't covet. And he's saying, these are things you would not do if I were to dwell in you. Even Christ says, you want eternal life? Keep the commandments. And those are the commandments. Don't lie, don't steal, don't bear false witness, don't covet thy neighbor's goods, don't murder, don't injure thy neighbor. Honor thy father and thy mother. Why honor thy father and thy mother? The word means honor, fatten, means to strengthen, so that your days will be long upon the land. That's his government. That's how his government operates. Those are all the laws you need for your government. If somebody accused of breaking the law, what did they do? Did they steal? Did they bear false witness? Did they injure? Did they covet? That's interesting. Covet. Covet is like, I want your stuff. How do you prosecute somebody who wants your stuff? And what is your stuff? His stuff is the things in your pocket, the money in your pocket, the clothes on your back, your labor. They want you to labor for them without pay. That would be coveting. You want them to do stuff for you. But how do you enforce that kind of law in a society? How do you know when somebody's coveting? Well, actually, the reason they use that word covet, and actually I heard one president use that, by covet means. He talks about a secret society. It was actually John F. Kennedy, JFK. The secret society that is controlling so many things in our lives, and we need to war against that and all the stuff, and then the next thing you know, he gets shot. But he says they do this through secret means, through covet means. Well, in the Bible it says, through covetousness they shall make merchandise of you. In other words, because you desire your neighbor's stuff, your neighbor's possessions, and you create systems that are involved with that, then through that covetousness, you will be made merchandise. And of course, even though that's Peter saying that in the New Testament, Paul also quotes David in the Old Testament saying the same thing, that through covetousness they will make merchandise. But he says, through what should have been for your welfare, you are snared. You're trapped. Their table is a snare for you, is what he's saying. And and those are the words that they use. The table is a snare. And they use the same thing in Proverbs. And we've talked about all this stuff. So that sets the scene, is that either you're formulating systems according to the laws of nature and nature's God and the character of God and the Spirit of God, or you're formulating systems that are contrary to the nature of God and the ways of God and the Spirit of God. Spirit of God is not one of covetousness. That would be anti-God, anti-Christ, anti the nature of God. And if you cultivated that nature in you, you're going away from God. If you want to go near God, you would be cultivating the nature in you of sacrificing yourself for others. Not taking from others, but gathering together what you can give to others. But it's still, family is the core of creation and of society and of community and of our presence here on this earth. Because that's where new ones of us are born, is in the family. So the family is sacred. And the institution of what we call the church today, and what they called the church in the wilderness in the ancient times, and the Levites who were called out to serve the tents of the tabernacles, in other words, the homes of the tabernacles, the tabernacles of the people. It says the tabernacles of the congregation. That means the tents of the congregation, and the tents of the congregation are the homes of every individual. And they were to serve them. And the way in which they served them is they were health, education, and welfare through a system of charity. Free will offerings, free will offerings, free will offerings. Over and over again it mentions it. Early church comes along, they're to do the same thing. Their ministers are to take care of the needs of your society through free will offerings. If the offering is completely given up, then there is no blood in it. Therefore, there is no coveting in it. You're not trying to get stuff from your neighbors so that you can take care of one another. Well, what's happened in the world today is the whole world has gone whoring after this system of coveting their neighbor's goods through a system called socialism. And we talk about this often. But today we're going to actually talk about the cognitive disconnect that comes so that people can't see that. I mean, you can sit there and talk to people about it, explain it, show you Old New Testament, Christ's words specifically saying not to pray to those people, not to look to the governments of the Gentiles who exercise authority one over the other but call themselves benefactors. He says not to do that. Specific instructions, yet people do it. You point this out and they can't get it. And they say, well, this is the system we have. And you point out that that's what religion is. Religion is how you take care of the needy of your society. And you either do it like John the Baptist said, through faith, hope, and charity, and love, and charity, and all that, or you do it like Herod did it, through forced contributions. Well, everybody in every country, they do it today through forced contributions. United States, Great Britain, Canada, China certainly, Soviet Union. And it's very interesting, you know, what we've done in the last couple of shows that we did today, and we've talked about Revelations 2:2, and I'll read it for you in a second. But we've discovered that there is an attitude and a spirit that is raising up in this world of progressive socialism that is going not only take away your stuff, but it's literally going to take away your children. It's going to take your children away from you completely. It's already kind of gotten into their minds, into their thinking with public schools and the media and all this stuff. But we're talking about actually physically coming and taking your children away from you so that you're nothing more than breeding cattle. And they are actually talking about this in the open, in the news, and on the record, and you're not getting it because of this cognitive disconnect that you don't realize you've gone down a road of covetousness. And why have you gone down that road of covetousness? Because you have created preachers and ministers and churches that say that's okay. They don't call it covetousness. They just say, oh, you gotta do what the government says. And if you have any needs, go to the government. I mean, I've seen this for years and years in churches where people had needs and they go to the church and the church says, well, here's a list of government services. We're not in that business. We're just here to make you feel good, I guess is what they're saying. They don't always put it quite like I do, but that's really what they're saying. But anyway, Revelations 2:2. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles. In other words, you went to churches that say that they are ministers of Christ. They are the ambassadors to Christ. They are apostles. This is Revelations 2:2. They say they are the ministers of Christ, the ministers of God, and are not. So they're talking about people who claim to be the ministers of God but are not. Now, in order to claim that, they'd have to look like ministers of God. They'd have to repeat things that were in the Bible. They would have to have kind of a form of godliness. But they have to deliver you a lie. Because it goes on to say, and has found them liars. They say things like, you don't have to do anything to be saved. Just believe. But Jesus says, not what you say, but what you do. That's a liar. Someone who says the direct opposite of what Christ said, they're a liar. They say that Paul said that we did away with the commandments, yet you see Paul listing off that you are to keep the commandments, that the law is not done away with, that we fulfill the law in our righteousness. In other words, we don't covet our neighbor's goods. We don't go and pray to men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority. And we've already had shows that show you that the Christians were persecuted because they would not join the social welfare systems of the temples of Saturn and the Parthenos and Parthenon. And they wouldn't be a part of those systems. They wouldn't register their children or any of those things. They took care of one another according to the perfect law of liberty. And actually, there was the sacrifice of the red heifer, which was foreign aid. They helped others outside of their congregation. They were the most charitable group of people in all of the Roman Empire. And that's what saved them. They were often persecuted, but many people spared the Christians, came to their aid, both private civilians and publicans and judges. At times came to the aid of Christians. They even, because they made it a law that you had to sacrifice to their public altars, which is what they were doing in these temples. These were public altars of sacrifice whereby they took care of the needy of their society, including universal health care. And now we see universal health care coming on the scene in the United States by the end of this year. Coming on the scene where you have to get universal health care. And if you're employed and your employer pays for the universal health care, you have to pay taxes on the money that he pays for your insurance, which seems counterproductive. I mean, they're taxing you on money they make you spend by law. It's bad enough they tax you on money that you earned. Now they're going to tax you on money you have to spend by law. It's just so, it's bizarre. And, you know, the frog is at the boiling point and he's not jumping out. And I'm not telling you to jump out. I'm telling you to move towards the kingdom, move towards what they are doing. And we're going to, maybe if we get a time, we'll explore a little bit about this. What brought this on was there's a case in Deuteronomy 4:9. It says that you're to teach your sons and thy son's sons. Yours to teach your children and your grandchildren. But somehow or other, you got it in your mind that it's okay to send your kids to public school, even though public schools are supported by men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority one over the other by taking away the goods of your neighbor to pay for that school. In other words, all public schools, when you want that public education, by the nature of that act of wanting that public education, free public education, is a covetous act. You are desiring your neighbor to pay for your child's education. And in the schools, when my kids were growing up, they didn't go to any public schools. They were all privately taught by us. It would have, the school bill when they were all going would have been around $40,000 a year. I didn't have to pay that. Of course, they didn't go to that school. They wanted them. They wanted me to register my kids. I didn't do it. It's getting harder and harder, but this idea of the state educating your school, men like Madison was totally against this. Men like Adolf Hitler was totally in favor of it. FDR was in favor of it. LBJ was in favor of it. And Satan is in favor of it. In 1938, homeschooling was outlawed in Germany by Adolf Hitler. Outlawed by the Third Reich. It was a time when children were ripped out of the hands of their parents and forced to go to their education and get into their Hitler Youth Corps. That's still the law in Germany. You may have defeated Hitler, but you did not defeat the spirit of Hitler. The German Supreme Court still states to this day, homeschooling ban is to counteract the development of religious and philosophically motivated parallel societies. The German Supreme Court is at war with real Christians. Because real Christians don't covet their neighbor's good. Real Christians do not pray to men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority one over the other for benefits, including free education, because real Christians are following what Christ said to do. Now, I know many of you may be sending your kids to public schools and you think, oh, well, are you saying I'm not a real Christian, that I don't love Jesus? I'm saying your ministers are liars. Now, they may be liars because somebody lied to them, but they haven't told you that thou shalt not covet. If you want eternal life, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's goods, even through the agency of government. You have to start educating your children yourself. It's not that hard. We used to do it in this country everywhere. People want to return to the Constitution as if we go back to the Constitution, everything will be hunky-dory. Are you willing to go back to the 1800s when almost everybody was educated by private funding and not in public schools? Even at the turn of the century, 1900, only less than half of the people even ever attended any public schools as early as the 1900s. By 1936, Germany outlawed homeschooling. They still had private schooling, but they outlawed homeschooling because they didn't want any kind of parallel society growing up in their midst based on religious or philosophical motivations. That's thought police, folks. Now, the interesting thing is that you think, well, that's Germany. Well, that's modern Germany. That's not ancient Germany. Now, there's a case of the Remickes, a German family that has fled Germany because they were receiving thousands of dollars of fines and threats of taking their children away because they wanted a homeschool. They came to America and they got asylum in America, right? Home of the free, land of the brave. The problem is the present government of the United States is disallowing their attempt to come here. They're already here to live here because of the fact they say that homeschooling your children is not an inherent right. It's not a fundamental right. You don't have a fundamental right to educate your children. Now that's amazing, because if you go to the United Nations, which Germany and the United States are members of the United Nations, and you look in the General Assembly's Proclamation for the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, Article 26, you will see Section 3, parents have a prior right to choose the kind of education that shall be given to their children. The parents have a prior right to choose the kind of education that shall be given to their children. So, evidently, Germany does not agree with that. They just don't agree with that. And now the United States doesn't agree with it. Your Attorney General is saying things like he argues this case, trying to nullify this asylum of this refugee family who would clearly be persecuted if they return to Germany. And he's trying to return them to Germany. He says the U.S., one fellow says who promotes homeschooling, says the U.S. laws of asylum allow refugees to stay in the United States permanently if he can show that he is being persecuted for one of several specific reasons. Among these are persecution for religious reasons and persecution of a particular social group. Group. Very important. Eric Holder, who is Attorney General, argues that there was no violation of anyone's protected rights in a law that entirely bans homeschooling. So what he's saying, if it's maybe not okay to ban some homeschooling, he's saying as long as you ban all homeschooling, then there's no prejudice. There's no religious prejudice. He's just banning all homeschooling. Because he says there is no inherent right, even though the United Nations says you have a prior right. Now, the interesting prior right, they're making these rules up for United Nations members. Prior right means you used to have that right. It doesn't mean you have it anymore. And evidently Germany doesn't think you have it anymore. And evidently Eric Holder agrees with Germany and wants to send these people back to Germany, where they actually teach witchcraft in the schools and other things. Because Germany doesn't want a parallel society. Christians were real Christians in the early days were a parallel society. Historians refer to them as a viable republic in the heart of the Roman Empire. They were literally a parallel government. Now, they still paid all their duties. We had this in a previous show where they paid all their duties. They paid all the necessary taxes that were like excises and stuff. But their welfare was through the church. Their welfare was because religion, the definition of religion as you see in the Bible, not your definition in your head today by those liars who have been preaching to you, and I will admit some of them have just been deceived as well, and they, if they really knew the truth, they might repent and turn around. But the fact is they're spreading lies, damnable heresies. Religion in the Bible is not what you think, it's what you do. And it's what you do specifically to take care of the needy in your society. It's the word threskia. It has to do with the rituals and ceremonies of caring for the needy of your society. That was religion. And the religion of John the Baptist was based on charity. The religion of Jesus Christ was based on charity. The religion, the pure religion of James was based on charity. And not spotted by the world. And the word world there was constitutional order or system of government. These people want to teach their kids at home. Lots of people want to teach their kids at home. Your government now is making war on people who want to teach their children at home, saying that it's okay to keep them from doing it as long as you keep everybody in every state from doing it. Just as today they say everybody has to have health care, everybody can no longer be homeschoolers is what they're going to say tomorrow. And you're not ready to stop them. You're not ready to do anything about it. Because you haven't been doing what Christ said. And you need to turn around and start doing what Christ said. You need to start gathering together. We talked on a show in the second or third hour of today's broadcast about healthcare, the church. You know, you can set up an alternative system of charitable health care. You can become a part of one like the Good Samaritans and health shares and stuff like that. But they have to be institutions that began before 1976. Or it's 67. I think it's 76. But that's okay because the church began 33 AD. But the church, now how do you do that? How do you organize a healthcare system? Your modern churches are not doing it. They haven't been doing any of the social welfare to any extent whatsoever, just minor little token charity for 100 years in America. I mean, it's been less and less for the last few decades. But originally, I mean, if you go back 150 years, all your social welfare came through the church or through your neighbor. There was no other source of social welfare, but not no more. Now, your sugar daddy in Washington, D.C. is the God you pray to for your benefits, the Father you pray to for your benefits. You've got to stop this. You got to turn around. Now, I'm not saying go cold turkey. I'm saying start setting the table of the Lord. And we're going to get more into exactly some of the things that are going on. Actually, the court case that we're talking about now is being appealed. Right now, in the next couple of weeks, these arguments are going to be heard in the Supreme Court, and they're going to decide whether to send this family back or not. And if that family loses, you all are going to lose, because it's going to set precedent that it's okay to stop homeschooling for one family as long as you stop homeschooling for all families. And any family who resists, you take their kids away from them. Terminate parental rights. And we just put up a blog on hisholychurch.org blog on that. You can go read that if you want. But right now, we're going to take a break. And we'll be right back to Keys of the Kingdom in a moment. Well, welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. And we're talking about something very important. Marriage, family, children, and the right to raise those children in the moral character that you see fit. Now, I personally know that there are a lot of parents out there that don't do a very good job raising their children in moral character, but the fact is that they are their children. And you have the right to protect those children against being murdered. No one has the right necessarily to murder their children, despite the Edgar Allan Poe's story of Falcone, which my son, when I was teaching our kids at home, I let my son read that story by Edgar Allan Poe, supposed to be literature. I don't think he's ever forgiven me for that. I should have maybe waited a couple more years before he read that. He thought it was a terrible story. But anyway, the fact is, governments murder more children than almost anybody. And there's reports that come out from the United Nations. And I actually have the report right here, which you can actually go probably find copies of it on the internet. Yeah, just, I think, look up parents' rights, and the Wikipedia will even tell you. The report filed by the president of the INGO Conference of the Council of Europe, and I won't bother with her name, and parents are subject to the United Nations, European Union, and UNICEF human rights violations. It's talking about governments, and it specifically names a particular concern is German and Austrian agency of the Jugendamt, which is actually abbreviated JA, which would be pronounced YA, the officers. It says their treatment and their abuse of their parents has resulted in harm, including torture, degrading, cruel treatment, and has led to children's deaths. This is in Germany. They do this right now. And your government wants to send this family back to Germany. This is the United Nations making this complaint about Germany. And Germany is one of the most powerful nations in the United Nations for the European Union. And this is the European Union and UNICEF all making this complaint about the way they treat parents and children. Taking children away. And why is that? Because they want to teach their children at home. That's one of the major reasons. And it goes on and explains a lot more, and we talked about it in another show, which we'll make available to everybody eventually in this series. But the point is that they're already being indicted by their own people, by their own governments, of being brutal. And here we have the government of the United States, the officers and the ministers of your government, trying to send people back to this, knowing full well that they were going to be persecuted, and they think that's okay. If you think that's okay with treating other people, they will think that's okay in the way they treat you. Ferris, who is working for the Homeschooling Defense Fund, goes on to say, one need not be a part of any church or any other religious group to be able to make a religious freedom claim. And I gave the example, the church's sheep that live out there on the church property up here in the high desert. They roam around on about 1,000 acres. They can get up on BLM land. And I mean, there's nobody else around us, but, and they can roam out there. If one of those sheep says, I have the right to go off by myself and eat grass anywhere I want, it can certainly do that because they're not tied together. But if they do that, the coyotes and the bobcats and the mountain lions are going to eat them up. So you don't have to belong to a group to make a religious freedom claim. But in the days ahead, you better belong to a group. And you better belong to a group that is really going to have the power of the Holy Spirit in them. And one of the ways that you're going to know that group is they're not going to be coveting their neighbor's goods. They're going to be taking back their responsibilities as individuals and as families. And that's what we promote. The United States Supreme Court has made it very clear in the past, keyword there, in the past, that religious freedom is an individual right. No longer so. I can show you executive orders by president after president over the last 10 years, 15 years, that say that it is not an individual right. And the president now, and certainly Holder, is saying just the opposite. It has to be a bona fide collective right, because they're all into the collective. They're all socialists. Yet our current government does not seem to understand this. They only think of us as members of groups in factions. It is an extreme form of identity politics that directly threatens any understanding of individual liberty. All this talk about hate speech, that's what you're hearing. They're into hate speech. They're into saying you don't have. They hate you because you want to teach your children at home. You want to take the responsibility. You're making them look bad. And they want to destroy that. They don't want you thinking any other way but than the way they think. If they were alcoholics, they'd want you drinking too. That's the way, that's the nature of decadence. That's the nature of evil. It does not want you being good. It's not content with being evil themselves. They want you to be evil too. They want you to take their social welfare benefits. Christians were often so well respected because of their charity that when they passed the law throughout the Roman Empire, and we talked about that just in a show just a little while ago, and we have it up on our websites and it explains the whole thing. But one of the things I didn't tell you is that they passed a law that you had to sacrifice at their temples. In other words, their social welfare systems. And they didn't want to see the Christians persecuted for not doing that. So they would have the ministers of their social temples bring a table down to the Christian's home, set it up. They would give the Christian money on his side of the table. All the Christian had to do is push it across the table. They would sign all the documents witnessing that he was giving. They supplied the money, they supplied the table, they supplied the witnesses. They just wanted him to push that money across the table so that they could say, he did give, you can't persecute him, you can't execute him. And he wouldn't do it. Today, you can't find Christians who aren't just throwing it across the table and applying for the benefits. Why weren't they allowed to apply for those benefits according to the early Christianity? Is because they were taken, that it was not charity, it was extracted from their neighbors by force. They knew you could not have a free society where that was tolerated. Your modern Christian churches tolerate it and even promote it. And they say, well, we're not saved by works, we're just saved by what we think in our heads. You're going to lose your children. You've already lost your rights. And you've lost the right to your children, and they're talking about it in the Supreme Court. In the next couple of weeks, they're going to talk about it some more. I think it's on the 6th or the 8th. This is going on all the time. The Department of Justice seems concerned about, and I'm quoting here from an article, about protecting the rights of illegal aliens, foreign gays who wish to come to America, terrorist suspects, and other threats to American national security, but it considers a German homeschooling family a threat to America's future. And they have to send them back. Well, what future do they have in store for you? The United States Supreme Court, quoting again Michael Ferris, Supreme Court has made it very clear in the past that religious freedom is an individual right. In the past, no longer. No longer. You need to start exercising your rights or you're going to lose them. I could go and show you story after story after story. Now, but we only have so much time left. Now, I've already shown you that parents, according to the United Nations, according to God, of course, this is just given, but according to the United Nations, parents have a prior right to choose the kind of education that shall be given to their children. Prior right. That means a fundamental, previous right. How do you lose rights? You say these are inalienable rights. You can lose them by contract. The right still exists, but you can't get to it because they have created obligations. You know, how do you create a corporation? We said at the beginning of the show, a corporation is two or more people gathered together for a particular purpose under a pre-existing authority. And we have already done shows and explained that if a church incorporates, it's no longer a part of the body of Christ. It's a part of the body of the state. It's an entity of the state. It's not an entity of Christ. Even in Black's Law Dictionary, the church is defined as established by Jesus Christ. In Black's Law Dictionary, established by Jesus Christ. If it's established by Jesus Christ, why does it need to be established by another authority? How can you have separation of church and state if your churches are incorporating? And you wonder why your churches are controlled. Even just filing a 1023, the IRS says that you will become strictly regulated. They list that as one of the disadvantages of filing a 1023. And in the form itself, it says churches do not have to file this form. But they do. By the thousands, they do. And they are strictly regulated. They can't even say the things that I'm saying. They'll lose their 501c3 given status by the IRS. My status is not given by the IRS. It's given by Christ. I recognize the right of the IRS to control those churches that have applied to it for benefits. They recognize the fact that a church that does not apply to them for benefits is not strictly regulated. They say so in their own documents. They let you make the choice. There's lots of choices you're making, and you don't know that you're waiving your access to your rights by making those choices. And we can teach you those, and we're not going to do it on an hour-long program. You're going to have to start looking and seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. You're going to have to start gathering together with other people. And we will share more and more. All the books are available for free on our website. But that's not all we know. But we can't help you if we don't know you. We can't, if you're not networking with us. Again, I'll put out the call. I've come across a homeless lady, and evidently there's 35 homeless ladies in Monterey area. Women. And I'm not even counting their children that they might have with them. Some of them will have children, so there's probably another 1,000 or more. And then there's the homeless men. And why? Because the economy is in shambles, and it's going to get worse. More and more people. I know two couples that are losing their homes in the next month. They're just going back to the bank. They're not going to have a home. This is going on still all over the place. It's just not in the news all the time. People are going to be losing their business. It's going to get worse and worse. More people are going to be homeless, and there are more laws popping up in places like Monterey that if you're caught sleeping in your car, $500 fine. Why would they do that? This person doesn't have enough money for a room, and you're going to fine them $500? It's so that the next time you know you get caught, they can take your car because you didn't pay the fine. So they impound your car. So what happens? You leave town. Hey, problem solved. This is the spirit of your ministers that you go to for your benefits. They don't love you. Their system is not based on love. It's based on force. You want to change that? Go ahead and try. You want to change it for you? Start creating a system based on love. And what my advice to this lady was, and she's got some help there, and she's talking to me and explaining how things are working. I says, okay, there's 3,500 ladies there. How many of you are working together? I mean, she had some of her stuff stored in a storage unit. A lot of her family had passed away in the last year, and she had stuff stored in a storage unit, and she couldn't pay the rent, and so it's all being sold at auction. And I said, well, how many other ladies could have used some of that space, and you could have pooled your effort and paid for that storage space? How many things that are in there could you have sold if you had other women working with you? The worst thing in the world is to be divided, that sheep out in the field saying, I'm going to go do my own thing. I had a sheep like that once. One more sheep story. Taking the sheep out on the desert. No fences anywhere. Just taking them out. And that day I'd been irrigating early in the morning, so I still had my rubber boots on. And I'm out there with the sheep with rubber boots on. And lo and behold, one of the big ewes, 45, 50-pound ewe lambs, decided it didn't want to be with the herd anymore. I never seen anything like it. It just all of a sudden started baying and running off away from the herd out into a part of the desert we never go. It's running uphill. I thought, like, what the heck? I mean, it was like panic-stricken. And so I ran up around the sheep. I had a circle around it. I didn't have a dog with me at the time. So I ran up, got around the sheep, and when it saw me, it got frightened, and it ran back to the herd, ran into the herd. And I thought, wow, that's something. I walked back to the herd, and it was grazing along. All of a sudden, it did it again, just like panic-stricken. I don't know, like its meds wore off or something. And it had to go running. And just baying and running and running and baying. And I ran all the way around it, got around it. I was pretty fast in those days. I'm getting slow now in my old age. But I got around the sheep, and I chased it back to the herd. And I thought, I've never seen anything like that. And I was pretty well worn out. Third time, it did it. Took off running up the hill. Way up the hill it was going. I started running after it, and finally, you know, my lungs were hot already, and I was exhausted, and I'm running in rubber boots, and I just waved goodbye. I never saw that sheep again. It ran all the way up the hill and over the other side. There's nothing on the other side but desert. Full of coyotes. Full of bobcats. Full of mountain lions. Gone. Had every right to go. Exercising its rights to freedom. The rest of the herd was okay. You need to come together. You need to form the network that was part of the early church. You need to form those congregations of record. You go on record because you want to connect with other people forming congregations. It's all home church. But you connect. What's the connection? You incorporate? No. The only thing you exchange between each other is charity and love. Same word, remember, that Paul uses, that they translate charity, is used by Christ, they translate it love. You take care of one another. What do you? You become health, education, and welfare. I repeat that all the time. But you also the Justice Department. If someone is abusing you, if someone is taking away your rights, if someone wants to take away your children, you need a vast network all throughout the Roman Empire where you can flee and people will take you in, where you can send your children and they will be safe. You're going to need that. Because this is going to keep going the way it's going. Because most of the people are sung to sleep in their churches. Thinking they are saved. Thinking they believe in Jesus Christ. Thinking they worship God the Father who art in heaven. But they are not. They worship the fathers of the earth. They pray to the fathers of the earth. They serve the fathers of the earth. You cannot serve two masters. Now, I'm not saying come out of the system. I'm saying set the table of the Lord. For there will be a day when they say, we're not going to take care of any of you anymore. And it will be a hard day. As they're already casting out the homeless, saying, oh, you want to be homeless? Like they want to be. You can't sleep in your car. You can't sleep in the streets. You can't sleep on the sidewalk. They are going to harass you and harass you and harass you. They're going to make you worship at their altars. They're going to make you serve their gods. You need to come together and start becoming real Christians. Form your congregations. I don't care. All it takes is three people. They come together and agree, we're going to start watching each other's back. Now that job's going to grow and grow and grow, but you can take those little steps now with homeschooling, home health, love for one another. That's what makes you a part of the body of Christ, the corpus of Christ, the corporation of Christ, is that you have one Father and you follow one way. We're not going to put any doctrines on you other than the doctrines of Christ as He said them. We're not going to add to them. We're not going to take away. He said it. It must be so. If He didn't say it, don't put it on anybody as a burden. Putting love for one another on you, as Christ said to do, is not a burden. It will take the burden from you. But you're going to start needing to make those kind of, you don't think you have enough time to do that now? Wait a couple years. 2015, I don't think you'll have more time then. Don't do like they were doing. Christ warns about this. Oh, we'll come, but not right now. We'll join with you. Not right now. Well, I gotta go do this other stuff. Don't be the dead, burying the dead. Be the living, seeking life. Seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Everything else will be provided unto you. Anyway, I mentioned the blog. I may start using it more and more. HisHolyChurch.org. I put up a blog, Merichidium. And I wrote it conversing with different PCMs on the group, you know, back and forth, and took a few suggestions from, I think, somebody in Texas. Actually, we have another congregation that might be forming in Texas. And you can find out all, I won't do all that on the radio, but I don't care if you're 100 miles apart from the people in your congregation now. Start coming together. Start learning. Start finding out what the early church was really doing. Start, you know, when you cast your bread upon the waters, it's really actually kind of good to start your congregations where the people are far apart. Because when you're helping somebody 100 miles away or 200 miles away, how is that helping you? That's showing faith. And that's what we need, more faith, that you're willing to do that. And we don't have enough time to go through it, but like I said, if you look up the different medical assurance share programs, medical share, they call it a lot of times, very clever what they've done. It's not as clever as what Christ said to do, because they were dealing with the same problem. I told you one of the very first martyrs was someone that was martyred because he was taking care of the sick and he was healing people. And he was martyred for practicing medicine without a license. And he was actually a dentist and people were being healed in his chair. But the point is that they were being persecuted often because they were not a part of the social welfare system. And right about the time of the early Christianity, for a short period of time, they went to universal health care. And they did it at a time when the Roman government was almost totally bankrupt. Actually, it was pretty much bankrupt. Not as bad as the United States is, or all the other countries of the world, all these other socialist countries. None of these countries are operating really in the black. They're all operating in the red, so they're all broke. And so all those benefits are stealing from your children and your grandchildren. But at that particular time, they instituted universal health care in Rome. I think it was under Servius. And Christians wouldn't be a part of that. And so they were persecuted because they wouldn't be a part of that. But the persecution only lasted a short period of time, and the Christians ended up being triumphant. They prospered during the decline and fall of the Roman Empire, which took about 400 years. I mean, it depends on when you start counting. It was already, when it became an empire, it was already downhill. It's no longer a republic. The United States is no longer a republic. Don't kid yourself. You don't know what you're talking about if you say it is. Fact is, the Constitution never created a republic. It created an indirect democracy within a republic, and that's what it says in the United States Creed. Most people don't even know the United States has a creed. Well, of course, it's a system of faith. They just want full faith and credit. We want you to have faith in Christ. We don't want credit. we're not a credit kind of guy. We deal in faith, hope, and charity, not in commerce. And so therefore we are different. We are the antithesis. We don't want to do away with that system because you need that system to control the wicked and to punish the wicked. And it should be there. We just don't want you being wicked anymore. We want you to repent, turn around, and go the other way, because unfortunately that system is about to collapse and be destroyed and fail. We already see it happening. You don't need to be a prophet to figure it out. But it's happening. Now you need to do something completely different. And Christ is that. And His holy church, His church, not some corporate organization, His church is that completely different thing. So anyway, that article on our blog, which you can get to at hisholychurch.org/blog, is Marichidium, Begets Same-Sex Marriage. And it really takes you down lots of rabbit holes and shows you things you probably never knew before. You might find it of interest. And if you do, join us on the network. Until next week, may peace be upon your house and may God be with you.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.